Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show. Please be sure to tune in Sunday nights from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with Lucid Libertarian flair. Be prepared, folks. We often go into an optional extended third hour. This show advocates for liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, tyranny, and the globalist Great Reset agenda that undermines our precious American sovereignty. Discussions here are unscripted and free-flowing, so sometimes conversations wander off in unpredictable directions. Would you like to call in and share your thoughts and be part of the conversation? The number is 563-999-3698. Again, that is 563-999-3698. Then press number 1 and you'll be added to the queue. Please also like and follow my Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann page on Facebook. You can help me battle their freedom-loathing censorship by visiting my page regularly, along with reacting, commenting, and sharing my posts. Thank you so much for listening, but please sit tight and don't go anywhere. We'll be back in a few minutes to kick off the show.
Imagine waking up in a trunk. What is grooming? What if I told you we had a 40% increase of human and sex trafficking in our country due to COVID lockdowns? We already had high numbers to begin with. One's Purpose is an amazing organization pounding the pavement every day helping these survivors get help. Unfortunately, they do not have the funding they need for a safe house. In the state of Oregon, we have zero safe houses for these survivors who have endured the most heinous of crimes. The time is now to get involved. The time is now to help stop human trafficking. Please go to onespurpose.com to get involved. If you need help and if you know someone who needs to get help, please contact 541-221-3448. Make a donation. Make a difference.
All right. Hello, everybody. This is your Lucid Libertarian, Lori Ann here. This is show number 4 of my special broadcast doing the Fall of the Cabal series. You can find the Fall of the Cabal on BitChute to watch the videos, which I highly encourage. Sometimes if you can sync it up before I play one of the parts of the series, you can sync it up if you look up the BitChute videos. So look up Fall Cabal, F-A-L-L-C-A-B-A-L, all one word, on BitChute. And there's also a link to it on my show description here on Blog Talk. And there's also a link to the first 3 shows. Last night I did show 3. And the first show did the most of the Fall of the Cabal original series of 10 parts. I got through 8 of those parts. Then on show 2, I finished the last 2 of the Fall of the Cabal series and then started with the sequel to the Fall of the Cabal. The sequel to the Fall of the Cabal, show number 2, I started playing parts 1 and 2 of the sequel. And the sequel has 22 parts total currently. So last night, I picked up where we left off, and I started with part 3 of Sequel to the Fall of the Cabal, and we ended with part 7. So tonight, we're going to start with part 8 and see how many of these that we can get through. So part 8 out of 22 is what we're starting up. So again, go to BitChute, look up Fall Cabal, F-A-L-L-C-A-B-A-L, and then you can scroll down and open up in a new tab or whatever, part 8 of Sequel to Fall of the Cabal. And then when I play the parts, I will do a 3-2-1 countdown so that if you are watching the video, then you can listen to the audio here being played as well as watch the video, because there are a lot of visuals that are obviously missing when you're only getting the audio. So this series, they've done quite extensive research on. There's a lot to think about, a lot of different rabbit holes you could go down. And we ended last night at a really good time because it, the part seven talked about the big philanthropists, right? You know, the big rich guys and these big charity organizations that are nothing more than money laundering schemes in reality, and who's behind them and things like that. And so, of course, it's going to start segueing into, they did like 5 episodes just on Bill Gates and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation alone, 5 parts of it. So we're going to be starting that, where they really start deep diving into Bill Gates, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and all the corruption that they have been involved in. Like I said, this is quite an extensive series. And, you know, take whatever truth from it you will. I've said it before, I'll say it again. If, let's say, 80% of everything that is presented here is true, but 20% is found to be false or debunked, then don't dismiss the remaining 80% that's true just because of the 20%, right? So there is a lot of information that is presented here. And so, again, I encourage you to watch the videos and follow their series. They just recently put out part 22, so, and they've been usually doing like 1 per month. So I'm thinking they're going to continue on with the series and see what comes up in the future. So I definitely want to continue on. I definitely want to try to crank out as much as we can. So for now, another thing to let you know is here on Blog Talk, I'm on a 2-hour live broadcast. So from 6 to 8 p.m. Pacific time, it's the live broadcast. And then there's a bonus hour that is included just in the recording. And so I encourage you to call in here to the show and just listen to it, hang on the line, call before 8 p.m. Pacific time during the live broadcast. So that way you can continue to listen to that last hour that isn't part of the live broadcast but is part of the recording. But so long as you've called in while we're live, then you can, and if you're just hanging out listening, calling in using your phone, then you can listen to that last hour. And if you want to hang out after that and chit-chat for a little bit, I definitely am up for that. Last night I tried that, and for some reason Blog Talk just completely ended the show up on me in the middle of a sentence when it, just as the 9 p.m. Pacific time rolled around and that recording part of it ended. So the show basically ended, but usually it lets you continue to talk off air for a while. But it just up and ended it on me last night. So hopefully I'll try it again. And that way we can, if you're still hanging out on the line, you call in before 8 p.m. Pacific time while we're on this live broadcast, then you can listen to the third hour and we can chat, you know, off air, provided that Blog Talk doesn't hang up on me again. So with that, all that said, I will definitely give some reminders to call into the show. Again, the guest call-in number is 563-999-3698. So call in before 8 p.m. Pacific time. It is about 6:10 p.m. right now Pacific time, and we are going to kick off Fall of the Cabal, series, the sequel of the Fall of the Cabal, Part 8. It is about 28 minutes, 43 seconds long. So get it queued up if you're watching it on BitChute. And we're going to kick that off here. 3-2-1, launch. Let's try it again. 3-2-1, launch.
The United Nations thought of by millions of people to be a benign organization with only our best interests at heart, turns out to be one of the main engines.
Sorry about that. I clicked on part 7 instead of part 8. So, accidental start of the episode from last night. So let's try this again, folks. Sorry about that. This is Sequel to Follow the Ball, part 8. I'm clicking the correct one now here to kick off. So try it again. 3, 2, 1, and go.
The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation does not need much introduction. Bill Gates is one of the wealthiest and most powerful men in the world. Let's have a look at the way Mr. Gates is presented to us all. He is the most powerful doctor in the world. He is invited to G20 meetings and all other top-level gatherings, where he is treated like a head of state. He is the savior of humanity and the earth. He is the embodiment of charity. He is a great example of the American dream. And he is a wonderful inspiration to us all. Where did this prodigy come from? Bill was born in a wealthy family, a family of influence. His mother, Mary Maxwell Gates, came from a powerful banking family. His father, William Henry Gates Sr., was an attorney. Bill Jr. dropped out of Harvard University. Worried about the future of her son, Mary helped Bill set up Microsoft. She used her IBM connections to set up a deal between IBM and Microsoft. In 1991, she arranged a meeting between her son and Warren Buffett, the multi-billionaire who took Bill under his wings. Both of Bill's parents were heavily involved in family planning and eugenics. His father served on the board of Planned Parenthood.
My dad was head of Planned Parenthood, and it was very controversial to be involved with that.
Bill openly and proudly talks about these things and how they were discussed over dinner. From an early age, he was spoon-fed with the ideology of eugenics. In his 30s, Warren Buffett added to this with his enthusiasm on the subject. Buffett's foundation, the Susan Thompson Buffett Foundation, is a massive financial supporter of pro-abortion activities and population control policies. It is the largest funder of reproductive health and family planning in the world. We hope that by now you understand that those are just fancy words for eugenics. Bill Gates, a Rockefeller descendant, as we have shown in our COVID-19 documentary, was pushed forward with one goal alive and one goal alone. And that was not computer programming. His role in this world was determined by his bloodline. He was to become the face of population control and depopulation within the framework of Agenda 21 and 2030. Let's have a closer look at the effects of our great benefactor's actions, shall we? Between 2000 and 2017, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation massively enforced their new polio vaccine on the children of India. 500,000 children under the age of 5 became paralyzed. The Indian people were furious, and as a result, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation was thrown out of the country in 2017. Yet, less than 2 years later, they were allowed back in, and India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi was awarded by Bill Gates for his efforts to reach the UN Sustainable Development Goals. There's nothing money can't buy. Isn't it weird that Gates got the opportunity in the first place to start his polio vaccination campaign in India, when taken into account that back in 2000, it was already known in the US that the oral polio vaccine frequently caused paralysis? In the UK, the polio vaccination program was stopped 4 years later, in 2004, because of this proven link between the polio vaccine and paralysis. Yet, the vaccination program was continued for 13 more years, with devastating effects in India. Nobody said a word. Not the UN, nor the WHO, nor the Dutch RIVM that was involved in the development of the vaccine. And most certainly not the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Finally, in 2017, when the damage was done, the WHO reluctantly admitted that the global explosion in polio was mostly caused by the mutated polio strains used in vaccines. Let me say this in layman's terms. Once there was a nasty virus. The WHO named it the wild polio virus. It paralyzed people, so the WHO asked its minions to create a vaccine. Which they did. As a matter of fact, they created two types. One that had to be injected, and one that only needed a few drops into a child's mouth. The droplets, also called the oral polio vaccine, were much cheaper to fabricate. So the poorest African countries got the droplets, and the not-so-poor countries got the ones with the needle. Business is business, right? All seemed well at first. And after many years, in 2020, the WHO and the CDC proudly presented to the world that the wild polio virus had officially been eradicated, killed, murdered, destroyed. Wonderful! But the droplets started causing major problems. Why? Because, according to the WHO, it contained a live, yet weakened, vaccine virus, activating an immune response in the body. However, the weakened virus did not die after the body had become immune to polio. it became stronger and started causing mayhem in children. Those who'd had the oral polio vaccine, the apparently harmless little droplets, developed identical symptoms to the original wild polio virus. They got paralyzed. The WHO denied the allegations. It stated that this could only occur very rarely. But then, as the numbers of paralyzed children grew and grew and grew, they admitted it was due to what they called mutated polio strains inside the vaccine. They even gave it a beautiful new name, VDPV, vaccine-derived poliovirus. Wow, I'm sure those paralyzed kids are very proud to carry a disease with such a pretty name. Despair. As always, the WHO has a solution to everything. As stated on their website, the solution is actually quite simple. Everybody must receive the vaccine.
Let's make sure we vaccinate every child and end all polio for good.
The same vaccine droplets, the cheapest ones of course, the ones that caused paralysis in the first place, must be given to every child under the age of 5. Why? Because of the herd immunity lie. Together we can stop this virus. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Was there any compensation for the 500,000 paralyzed children? No. Was the Gates Foundation prosecuted? No. What else? In 2002, the Gates Foundation introduced the Meningitis Vaccine Project, MenAfriVac campaign, in which thousands of African children were force vaccinated. 10% of those children developed paralysis. Local newspapers printed articles about being nothing but guinea pigs for the pharmaceutical industry. Gates' actions were described as ruthless and immoral. Once again, it was clear how the UN's NGOs and the WHO were all in it together. The Meningitis Vaccine Project was a partnership between PATH and the WHO. It was funded with millions of dollars by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Then, in 2009, the Gates Foundation used their NGO called PATH to test their HPV vaccine on 23,000 tribal girls in remote villages in India. The HPV vaccine was said to prevent girls from getting cervical cancer. 1,200 girls had severe and chronic side effects, such as fertility disorders and autoimmune problems. 7 girls died. Thousands of girls suffered from severe convulsions directly after being vaccinated. The WHO admitted the vaccine could cause convulsions, but stated it would only affect girls with a certain gene, and so it would be quite rare, which totally contradicts this video footage.
I'm Ginny Bleski and this is my daughter Mia, who's 12. On the 21st of September last year, 2016, she had the first HPV vaccination at school. The following morning she woke up and she couldn't walk on her legs. She couldn't weight bear, her legs were shaky and she had burning in either side of her spine all the way up her back. But she deteriorated by the afternoon, so we recalled the on-call doctor who said just go straight to A&E. We took her straight to A&E and they admitted her for a few days. We've done video diaries right from the first day all the way through up until now. And basically within days, about 10 days of Mia having the vaccination, she completely lost the use of her legs. A couple of weeks after, she lost the use of her body. Her body went... So for the last 13 weeks now, she's only been able to blink and speak. She can't use any of her limbs. She's incontinent.
We highly recommend you do some research before having your child get the HPV vaccine. There are quite a few excellent documentaries out there on the devastating effects that ruined the lives of many young girls. The vaccines have been developed by the big pharma giants Merck and GlaxoSmithKline. In 2012, this case was taken to court in India. The allegations were pressuring vulnerable village girls into the trial, bullying parents, forging consent forms, and refusing medical care to the injured girls. The case is still in the country's Supreme Court. We are now 9 years later and nothing has been done yet. If anyone is ever convicted in this case, it will be the researchers involved that were funded by Gates. Gates himself, his foundation, and even PATH and the WHO will, as always, come out with a clean sheet. PATH, by the way, is the NGO that is massively funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation with $3 billion. Its main focus is on family planning, that is, population control, eugenics. PATH was set up in 1977 as PI Act, Program for the Introduction and Adaptation of Contraceptive Technology. 4 years later, it changed its name into PATH. I guess the original name made its population control focus just a little too clear. Oh, and guess what? The HPV vaccine is now available for boys too. I didn't know they have a womb. Oh wait, here's the official explanation. Boys may get oral cancer from the same virus, like throat cancer. Wow, I mean, you've got to admit, this is absolutely brilliant. Instead of only the girls, Big Pharma now gets to target all the boys as well. That is a 100% market expansion. Doubled revenues. Absolutely brilliant marketing. Next, in 2010, the Gates Foundation funded a trial with an experimental malaria vaccine made by GlaxoSmithKline. One-fifth of the children involved in this trial suffered from severe side effects such as convulsions and paralysis. One-fifth! 151 African babies died. Did you hear about this in the news? No. Then, in 2014, the Kenya Catholic Doctors Association accused the WHO of chemically sterilizing millions of women in Kenya against their will by means of a so-called tetanus vaccination program funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Each and every vaccine tested by independent labs contained HCG, a pregnancy hormone that is produced when a woman is pregnant and that causes temporal infertility. After all, when you are pregnant, you don't want to become pregnant again, simultaneously with yet another baby, right? So the production of this hormone is a very intelligent move of the female body to make sure the baby can develop safely in the womb without being hassled by other fetuses. So, HCG causes temporal sterility. Why on earth was it in those tetanus vaccines? What was it doing there? Who put it in there? Is this what we are looking at here when we talk about population control and family planning? The Kenyan women who were pregnant upon getting the vaccine were told it would protect their unborn babies against tetanus. They were told they had to get 5 shots at 6 monthly intervals. Their babies never saw the light of day. They were spontaneously aborted. Interesting detail about this case is that the Kenyan government fervently denied that the vaccine had caused sterilization. President Uhuru Kenyatta must have followed the money. He does not exactly have a clean sheet. He stood trial in The Hague for crimes against humanity and was involved in several cases of bribery and corruption. A very easy partner in crime for Gates and the WHO, who have spent millions of dollars paying off corrupt governments of less developed countries to get a carte blanche for their vaccination experiments. In this particular case, the mainstream media and the notorious fact-checkers still try their utmost best to ridicule and deny this case, which we fully understand. What do you think will happen to them when all of this gets out into the open? In 2017, a research paper was published in multiple scientific journals, once again putting the vaccination trials in a very bad light. In the early 1980s, the WHO's UNICEF performed what they called a natural experiment in an urban community in Guinea-Bissau, a country in West Africa. Babies between 3 and 5 months of age were given a DTP vaccination. The study showed that vaccinated children had fivefold higher mortality than unvaccinated children. In this natural experiment, vaccinated children had fivefold higher mortality than not yet DTP vaccinated children. Hence, DTP may be associated with a negative effect on child survival. DTP was associated with increased mortality. Shocking as this may be in and of itself, the worst was yet to come. After all of these things could have been hiccups in the startup of something safe and benign, right? Well, no. In spite of being aware of these horrid effects, UNICEF continued the DTP program in Africa. An unknown number of beautiful babies died, their parents' lives ruined, but nothing was done other than burying the data and sweeping it under the carpet. For some reason, black lives don't really seem to matter when billions of dollars are involved. Business is business, right, Mr. Gates? Okay, we could go on forever about vaccination scandals. And let's not forget the biggest scheme of all times, the COVID fraud. We highly recommend watching our four-part documentary about this topic. There will be an update soon, but right now, believe it or not, it is even more important to focus on Gates' other activities, many of which are unknown to the public. Once these have been exposed, we guarantee you that nobody will trust this man and any of his vaccines ever again.
I mean, we're taking things that are, you know, genetically modified organisms and we're injecting them in little kids' arms. We just shoot them right into the vein.
Do you want to know about Bill's obsession with genetically modifying food, African chickens, and even mosquitoes? Do you want to know more about his top secret connections with the US Army and their biological warfare plans? Ever heard of the infinite possibilities of the nanotechnological unmanned aerial vehicle? Are you ready to find out just how evil Bill and Melinda Gates, Warren Buffett, the WHO, and the UN really are? Then follow me to part 9.
All right, hello again, everybody. That was part 8 of Sequel to Follow the Cabal. And I will kick off part 9 here in just a moment. But again, I wanted to remind anybody listening out there, the live broadcast, there's an hour, 20 minutes left of the live broadcast. So call in while we're still having the live broadcast so that you can listen to the final hour, which is part of the show recording and not live broadcasted. But if you've called in while we're in a live broadcast and you're hanging out just listening, then you can continue on with me between 8 and 9 p.m. Pacific time during that bonus hour that is part of the show recording. And then after that, if people are hanging out and they want to chat for a little while afterwards, then I plan to do so long as Blog Talk doesn't end the episode like they did on me last night. So we can have some off-air chit-chat as well after 9 p.m. Pacific time once that bonus hour ends and the recording is ended. So with that, again, call in at 563-999-3698. And then you press number 1 to raise your hand if you want to talk. But between now and 9 p.m. Pacific time, just hang out because I'm going to be going part by part by part here, trying to crank out as much as I can. And then once we get to a point close to 9 o'clock where the final episode that I can fit in, then we can just have some chit-chat for a little bit. So with that said, we are going to kick off part 9. So if you're looking them up on BitChute, this is sequel to The Fall of the Cabal, part 9. And you can find that on BitChute, the Fall of the Cabal series, Fall Cabal, and then scroll and fall, and then find part 9. And then we can sync it up and kick it off. So with that said, we're going to start part 9 here in 3, 2, 1, launch. Oops. There.
In 2016, the Gates Foundation decided that the African chickens weren't fat enough. Not only that, their eggs were too tiny. Gates came up with a brilliant plan. Let's genetically modify chickens. The University of Wageningen and Hendrix Genetics, both from the Netherlands, invented a new chicken species made especially for poor African families. What a marvelous idea! And what a great philanthropist! Genetically modified chickens that no African family had asked for. According to Janet Mawio, president of the Kenya Community Development Foundation, the native chickens are great. They may look a little skimpy, but they taste terrific. And they are unvaccinated. Our chickens feed themselves in nature. If we get more of them, who's going to pay for the food? And who will pay for the vaccinations? She asked in an interview. Excuse me? Vaccinations? Are these genetically modified super chickens not perfect when they come rolling out of the lab? Obviously not. They have to be vaccinated. That explains why the Dutch research supervisor Lisbeth van der Wij said, the chickens must come with a clear manual. They need good food and plenty of water. If not, the production will probably be disappointing in practice. So, genetically modified chickens that need special food and vaccinations. Gates was delighted. In a press conference, he stated that 100,000 chickens were going to be donated to the poor in Ethiopia, Nigeria, and Tanzania. He tried to give them to Bolivia too, but they didn't want them. As a matter of fact, the African people didn't want them either, as Janet Mawio pointed out. But for some reason, Bill Gates always gets what he wants in Africa. Genetically modified chickens vaccinations. It seems like he has built up a great relationship with the mostly corrupted leaders of those countries. Oh, and the chicken story had a little tail to it. Shortly after Gates had introduced his super chickens, the bird flu erupted. In Nigeria alone, more than 750 outbreaks led to 3.5 million dead chickens. Coincidence? You tell me. At any rate, all of those lost chickens had to be replaced by Hendrix Genetics from the Netherlands. I sure hope they offered them at a special discount. Oh, and the man in charge of the genetically modified chicken project at Wageningen University, Johan van Arendonk, promoter of the thesis we showed you less than 3 minutes ago, was welcomed by Hendrix Genetics as Head of Research and Development on the 1st of January 2016. Four years later, he was promoted Chief Technology and Innovation Officer and part of the Executive Committee. That's how it works, my friends. First, you get several millions from the Gates Foundation or the Rockefeller Foundation to research the possibilities for a new chicken breed in several African countries. Of course, you accept the assignment. You set up a research program that is carried out by several African assistant researchers under your supervision. Research papers are published, and Mr. Gates is no doubt satisfied with your research findings and, as such, the business opportunities you offered him. So, what follows is a promotion. Off you go to Hendrix Genetics, where you receive another 9 million from Gates to genetically create a new breed of chicken. The moment you accept the job at Hendrix Genetics, you are in Gates' pocket. You will make whatever he wants you to make. It doesn't matter if your creation can only survive on good food, clean water, and vaccinations. Who cares? Nobody will know. The mainstream media won't say a thing. Who cares about the coincidental outbreak of the bird flu within a month after the delivery of your creation? Who cares that thousands of African people were devastated, ruined? They didn't have the money to buy more of your super chickens, nor their high-quality food, nor all of their future vaccinations. They had nothing left. But then again, we're talking about Africa. Nobody cares about Africa, right? The mainstream media remained silent, as always. Well, they reported the bird flu, of course. Yet another great opportunity for Bill Gates to develop yet another vaccination project. Because that, dearest viewers, is what Africa needs. It doesn't need clean water, nutritious food, or schools. It needs vaccinations. Chickens are not the only animal species that fascinate Gates. So do mosquitoes. Well, actually, he hates them, just like anybody else, as some of them spread diseases such as Zika and malaria. And so, Gates came up with yet another brilliant plan to improve the world. He paid the British company Oxitec millions of dollars to develop a program to genetically modify mosquitoes. Oxitec developed a modified version of Aedes aegypti, the mosquito responsible for transmitting Zika and dengue fever. The males were genetically tampered with and received a self-limiting gene, targeting only the females, the ones that sting for blood, and by doing so, spread disease. When the GMO males mated with the wild females, the self-limiting gene was passed on to their offspring, killing only the females. After several generations, there would only be males left. In and of itself, a brilliant plan, and quite a gentle way to wipe out an entire species of mosquitoes. Several trials were held in India and in Panama, after which the first official grand release took place in Brazil in May 2018. Millions of genetically modified mosquitoes were released in a city over a period of 27 weeks. The results seemed promising at first, and the Gates Foundation made sure the press released articles about its immense success. But after a year and a half, the genetically modified male mosquitoes were having a ball with the natural local female mosquitoes, and billions of hybrid baby bugs were born to pester the inhabitants and to continue breeding like there was no tomorrow. The self-limiting gene was not doing what it was supposed to do. The result was disastrous. The species had only become stronger than ever before. Did you hear about this in the news? No. It can only be found by reading long and boring scientific papers that nobody tends to do. Only a few alternative media reported it, but as always, they were ignored, overruled, and ridiculed as conspiracy theorists. Instead of abandoning this sinking ship, Bill Gates took it a step further. He asked Oxitec to genetically modify yet another species, the females of Anopheles albimanus, one out of four mosquito species that can transmit malaria. Trials were held in Burkina Faso in Africa. The locals resisted. They asked for mosquito nets, a cheap and very effective solution. But, as always, they were not heard. Why is it always that these experimental trials are held in less developed countries? Don't these lives matter? Now, even though the idea of no more mosquitoes may sound appealing to many, everyone who understands anything about ecosystems and the balance of nature knows that this is bad news. One does not play God and get away with it. Genetically modifying one kind of mosquito will have far-reaching effects on nature and thus on people, especially in rural areas where people depend on agriculture to survive. The entire ecosystem could end up disrupted in ways that cannot be foreseen. Now, normally, it would take years to pass an environmental law for these kinds of things. But because of COVID-19, the Environmental Protection Agency decided differently. Environmental laws will not be upheld at this point. The mosquitoes may be released. And this time, in Florida. And so, in the summer of 2020, swarms of genetically modified mosquitoes were to be set free. but due to public protest, it was put on hold. Now I can hear people think, what's the big deal? The annihilation of mosquitoes, isn't that a dream come true? Well, it was and still is presented that way by Gates. But let's have a look at an article in Science from 2010. 11 years ago, a group of Japanese researchers developed a mosquito that spread vaccine instead of disease. However, the regulatory and ethical problems will prevent the critters from ever taking wing, the researchers stated. Yet, 3 years later, the US Army Medical Research and Development Command picked up on this idea in collaboration with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. They did not seem to be bothered with ethical problems. The study to turn mosquitoes into flying vaccinators was Gates' new target. And not just Gates. Why was the US Army suddenly involved? Doesn't that point us in the direction of biological warfare? Now, for those viewers who believe that weaponizing mosquitoes is too far-fetched, please dive into the subject and you will find out that as early as 1953, the US initiated its weaponization efforts with disease vectors, as they called it, focused on fleas spreading the plague, mosquitoes causing brain infections by spreading encephalitis, and mosquitoes spreading yellow fever. Experimental trials were held over Florida and Georgia to see if the insects could be used successfully as a bioweapon to kill off urban populations. A declassified Army document from 1981 entitled An Evaluation of Entomological Warfare as a Potential Danger to the United States and European NATO Nations describes in detail how the government raised millions of mosquitoes as weapons and released them in covert operations over US residents. Calculations showed it would cost only 29 cents per death if half of the population were to be killed. 29 cents per death! What a wonderful cost-effective way to execute a massacre. There's nothing new under the sun. For decades, armies all over the world have done these horrid experiments on their own and other countries' unsuspecting citizens. It didn't matter how many people died. It didn't matter if innocent children died. All that mattered was information. Which is gruesome in and of itself. But how does it make you feel that right now, the Gates Foundation is involved in all of this? Of course, different target, modern-day equipment, but the idea never changed. How to perform genocide in the most efficient and cost-effective way? Depopulation with a capital D. Much of the collaboration between the Gates Foundation and the US Army is classified. From 2013 onward, not much can be found unless you have special clearance. Why am I not surprised? Oh, and Oxitec, the company that is funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to develop the genetically modified insect, is tied to the US Army as well. Their current CEO, Ray Franson, worked for the US Department of State. He was advisor to the US Navy. He wrote the first guide to non-governmental organizations for the military and is seen as an expert on NGO-military relations. Furthermore, when he was president of Olfactor, a company similar to Oxitec, he signed agreements with the US military's Walter Reed Army Institute of Research for the military bases around the world to use Olfactor's technology. When a GMO company's technology is used by the Army and there is a direct link with a biodefense lab, Fort Detrick, Maryland, notorious for its covert biowarfare tests on US civilians to examine the feasibility of mosquitoes as vectors for bioweapons, you can rest assured that the company and its president were up to their ears in the development of GMO bioweapons. That same man now runs the mosquito show in Florida as president of Oxitec with the money of Bill Gates. If Gates is working on a better world, do you really think some of his projects were classified? Why on earth is he spending millions of dollars on genetically modified bugs that can be and have been deployed to spread disease and to vaccinate people? Why the secrecy? Are we being used as guinea pigs for more military tests? And why Florida? Is there a connection with the eeny weeny tiny super drones that look like mosquitoes? Back in 2018, there were headlines about the race between the US and Russia to be the first manufacturer of the unmanned aerial vehicle, the UAV, or micro aerial vehicle, the MAV. Using nanotechnology, these little drones can be deployed against people during, for instance, peace protests. Equipped with a camera and a microphone, they can land on you, take samples of your DNA, or leave tracking nanotechnology on your skin. Strategic analyst Paul Buchanan told NBR in July 2018 about the interest in UAVs. The predictions were that the UAV industry could be worth $89 billion by 2022. Somehow, we find it hard to believe that our philanthropist Bill Gates has nothing to do with these insect drones. It's probably only a matter of months before he comes out with yet another interview promoting the infinite possibilities of the nanobug. In June 2020, Bill Gates talked about his surprise that so many people don't trust his good intentions, especially when it comes to vaccinations. "We're just giving money away," he said. "We just write checks to pharma companies." Up until April 2020, the WHO's biggest sponsor was the American government. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation was number two. When President Trump put a halt to this funding, Mr. Gates became the WHO's biggest sugar daddy. He owns the WHO.
halting funding for the WHO during a world health crisis is as dangerous as it sounds. The world needs them now more than ever. Well, the truth is the group actually needs Gates more than ever. With the U.S. taking a pause, he'll now be their largest active donor. That's right, one out of every 10 bucks that the WHO gets is from the world's second wealthiest man. So should we be concerned about how much one man has maybe an outsized influence with an obviously corruptible entity such as the WHO? Joining me now.
He's treated like a head of state, not only at the WHO, but also at the G20. He is one of the most influential men in global health. The foundation's impact on the WHO is enormous. If they weren't there, if they walked away with their money, the deleterious impact would be profound, and everyone is all too aware of that. The WHO is owned by Bill Gates. Its Director General, Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, is nothing but a puppet. His strings are pulled by Gates and the Clintons. In 2018, yet another scandal came to light. Here's what happened. Before Tedros became Director General of the WHO, he held two high-level positions in the government of Ethiopia, Minister of Health and subsequently Minister of Foreign Affairs. He became very friendly with the Clintons and a speaker at the Clinton Global Initiative of the Clinton Foundation. And he was board chair of the Global Fund. The Global Fund presents itself as an independent organization that aims at eradicating AIDS, tuberculosis, and malaria. While Tedros was chair of the Global Fund, the organization was involved in scandals about fraud and misappropriation of funds. An investigation showed that 67% spent on an AIDS program in Mauritania was misspent. And Mauritania wasn't the only country that missed out on a lot of money. According to financial investigators Larry Doyle and John Moynihan, we are looking at a classic example of money laundering. Here's how it works. The Clinton Foundation received millions of dollars from poor countries such as the Dominican Republic, Rwanda and Lesotho, which is rather strange, don't you think? I mean, aren't those countries supposed to be on the receiving end of the cash flow? Anyway, those countries received money from the Global Fund. The Global Fund then received millions of dollars from USAID via the State Department. Who oversaw those funds? None other than Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. The Clinton Foundation subsequently received millions from the Global Fund. Indeed, money laundering at its finest. Doyle and Moynihan testified before Congress about the corruption in the Clinton Foundation, in which the Global Fund, at that time chaired by Tedros, our current President General of the WHO, played an important role. The same Tedros who is now telling the world what to do about COVID-19. Funny world, isn't it? Are you starting to have doubts yet about Mr. Gates's philanthropy? Are you ready for more that will put him behind bars if it comes out into the open? Then follow me to part 10.
All right, so that was part 9 of sequel to The Fall of the Cabal, and we will continue with part 10 here in just a moment. We have about 48 minutes or so left of the live broadcast, and so I encourage you to call in 563-999-3698. Again, 563-999-3698. Call in within the next 48 minutes of the live broadcast, and that way you can continue to listen during the bonus hour that isn't live broadcast, but is part of the show recording. And then once we get to 9 o'clock or so toward the end of that bonus hour, we'll see how many parts we got left, whatever I can fit. And after that, we can have a chit-chat. And so if you have called in and you're hanging on the line during that bonus hour that's part of the recording, then we should be able to continue to talk and after that. So if we want to talk about the series and all that kind of stuff, then we can do so. So long as you have called in and you're hanging on the line, 563-999-3698. Call within the next 47 minutes or so during the live broadcast. And that way you could just hang out, listen to it, and continue to listen to that bonus hour. So with that, I am going to cue up part 10 of Sequel to Fall of the Cabal. It is 27 minutes long. And so if you have it queued up, hopefully if you are near your computer or something and you can actually watch the videos on BitChute, I encourage you to do so. Go to BitChute, look up Fall Cabal, and from there you can scroll and find the sequel to The Fall of the Cabal, Part 10. And so I am going to go ahead and kick that off here. 3, 2, 1, launch.
We're not done with Mr. Gates just yet. As a matter of fact, we've only just started. What else is he up to? He is heavily into buying shares and thus influence in big companies such as Apple, Twitter, Alphabet, Amazon, and Alibaba. Companies that have massive influence in the area of tracking apps, global surveillance, facial recognition, and spyware. His part in Alphabet and Twitter explains the absurd level of censorship we encounter when posting or searching for anything controversial about vaccinations and currently COVID-19. Own the internet, and you own the public opinion. Amazon has been under fire for having the exact same weirdness on their website as Wayfair. In case you missed the Wayfair scandal, here's what happened. Researchers found this in their pursuit of child traffickers. Ridiculously high prices for average products. Upon investigation, the names of these products turned out to correspond with missing children. Coincidence? Absolutely, according to the fact checkers. But they connected the products to the wrong children. Any other leads? Yes. Remember this sofa with this weird price? Well, guess what? These numbers are the actual coordinates of Epstein Island. Little St. James, Pedo Island, Orgy Island, it goes by many names. And look at the name of the sofa. She was the consort of convicted pedophile Jeffrey Epstein. She is now in custody and singing like a canary, meaning she has given the investigators a list with a lot of names belonging to the people who joined her on the Lolita Express, Epstein's private jet, to visit Little St. James, where they collectively raped and murdered children, according to whistleblowers. Among those names are Hollywood stars. Top-level officials. Politicians. Members of the royal families. And Bill Gates. So, fact checkers, maybe the conspiracy theory about Gates buying shares of companies that are deeply into child trafficking or human trafficking in general is not so far-fetched as you might think. I mean, it is easy to debunk a theory, but can you debunk facts? Ridiculously high prices of some products and names that correspond with missing children. Fact. A sofa's price identical to Epstein Island's coordinates. Fact. Epstein being a convicted pedophile and child molester. Fact. That sofa's name corresponding with Ghislaine Maxwell, Epstein's madam and handler. Fact. Ghislaine Maxwell now in jail, where she provided the investigative authorities with a blacklist. Fact. A blacklist with hundreds of names of members of the elite. Fact. Hidden meaning of the name Wayfair. Wave plus fair. Fact. Bill Gates on the passenger list of Epstein's private plane. Fact. Bill Gates denying being a friend or business associate of Epstein. Fact.
Gates says, no relationship, nada, nothing. You report these two men met at least 6 times. What does Gates say about that?
Well, I believe that there were more, and he and his spokespeople would not say how many in total they actually met. But this included visits to the mansion, seeing each other in Seattle, flying on Epstein's plane, when we all know Bill Gates has his own $40 million plane. And then, as an investigative reporter, why would Gates say, oh, I had no relationship with him, when, of course, he knows what the facts are? So that always sets off red flags for me.
He also has one of the largest, most established foundations on his own. Yeah. Why would they ever set up a charitable trust benefiting Jeffrey Epstein?
Well, not only does he have the world's largest charitable foundation, but one of their primary missions is to help young women in underprivileged countries. Jeffrey Epstein was preying on young women from Eastern Europe, from South Africa, luring them into his web. And it's the antithesis of what the Gates Foundation stands for. And by the way, there were Gates Foundation employees who were horrified when they realized what Jeffrey Epstein had done and was saying, we don't want to have anything to do with this, and yet the project went on.
And what is the Gates explanation for this?
That it was all about philanthropy, that Bill Gates just wanted to find new sources of money.
Not very smart, Bill. The evidence is there. It will not go away. Gates and Epstein met on several occasions to discuss philanthropy issues. Let me guess. I'll bet they wanted to do more to protect little girls and young women, right? If this is ever brought before a judge, Gates will be found guilty and spend the rest of his days in Guantanamo Bay. That is, if he doesn't get the death penalty. Back to the internet, and back to Gates' huge investments in companies such as Amazon that has been under investigation ever since the Wayfair scandal. Amazon is notorious for its censorship of books and documentaries about child trafficking and pedophilia. They do sell this kind of items, though. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? Well, maybe not when you realize that upon further investigation, we discovered that Amazon has the exact same interesting price-quality ratio for some products as Wayfair. And for our Dutch viewers, so does bol.com. Maybe it's time for the investigative units into child trafficking to investigate bol.com too. Oh, and Alibaba? Adrenochrome. Pages full of adrenochrome. Remember the highly adrenalized blood of children caused by severe trauma? The special wine that gives you eternal life? Please watch the previous series Fall of the Cabal if you haven't just yet. Adrenochrome is connected to Pizzagate. child trafficking, sacrificial abuse, and now Alibaba, and thus Bill Gates. Interesting business, Mr. Gates. Or do you still believe he is innocent? Now, of course, when Alibaba, Amazon, Wayfair, and Ball.com were reproached about these strange facts, they all claimed it was nothing but glitches in the software. Doesn't exactly explain this, does it? We could elaborate extensively on this topic, and we will in the near future. But right now, we are focusing on the demise of Bill Gates. But if you wish to do your own research, here are a few hints and tips. Take, for instance, the rocking chair. We found it by just choosing a department in the main menu. We changed sort by to price high to low. The rocking chair popped up on top of the list. Curious price, to say the least. So we copied the article description, pasted it into a new tab, and chose images. The same products appeared, sold by a different company. Click and find the normal price. We went back to the Amazon version. What else caught our eye? Ships from and sold by something nobody can pronounce. That's weird. So we typed it into a new tab and found this. We clicked on the top one and got this. The first three, no prices. Number four, interesting, ridiculous price. So once again, we copied the article description, pasted it into a new tab, and chose images. The same product appeared, sold by a different company. Click and voila, the normal price. We went back to the Amazon version. What else caught our eye? The name of the manufacturer. Click. Once again, strange names. Click. Etc. Etc. This is how it works. You are led from page to page. It works like a puzzle. They use codes and keys in order to lead you to the end product. And by that time, you are asked for your credit card data and more personal information. That's when we stopped. This is for the FBI to dive into. The same happened, by the way, when we searched for adrenochrome. A few months ago, Alibaba simply took you straight to their offers. But when we tried it again, everything had been deleted. No results. But when you simply go through their entire offer, there we are again. This time, however, one word has been added. Semi-carbazone or carbazochrome. Two separate words. So why can't we search for adrenochrome? And why are they used together when they are not the same thing? Weird. We decided to use our old screenshots to see what caught our eye. Low prices for something so extraordinary. Minimum amount to purchase 10 tons? And a possible lead to the suppliers. The suppliers seemed professional. But look, Alibaba. And when we tried to buy the product, we were led straight back to Alibaba's website. Is this because the company only and exclusively sells via Alibaba? We find that hard to imagine. So we searched again. Did we miss something? Well, yes, we did. A bit further down is the supplier without the Alibaba link. But that took us to an entirely different company. Same name, different website, and nothing but an empty shell, a smokescreen. We checked out each and every so-called supplier of Alibaba, and they were all fake. Fake websites, fake addresses, and whatever we clicked, we were led straight back to Alibaba. Shell companies, not shelf. Shell, as in empty. A cover for criminal transactions. A man like Bill Gates knows exactly what he does when he invests millions into these companies. Make no mistake, he is well aware. He didn't visit Epstein's Speedo Island all those times to drink coffee and enjoy the scenery. What else? Gates invested no less than $1.3 billion in Walmart. Now you understand why Walmart has been so extreme in their COVID-19 policy from the start. Walmart, by the way, is a highly controversial business. In 2019, it paid $282 million to settle a 7-year bribery investigation by the US government. Let that marinate for a while. First they bribe Mexican and Chinese officials, then they settle a criminal investigation. Isn't that yet another form of bribery? Oh, and then Mr. Gates invested his $1.3 billion in this company, after which all of a sudden, Walmart started showing their concern for the well-being of their customers and for people in general. How wonderful! Just like that, it changed from a criminal organization into a benign philanthropic business that pledged to eradicate the COVID killer virus and keep the world safe. In no time, Walmart was ready, supporting COVID-19 testing and administering vaccines. Wow, in your face! As millions of small and medium businesses went bankrupt due to the COVID hype, Walmart made astronomical profits thanks to Gates' CPR tests, his vaccines, and Walmart's e-commerce that grew 74% in the midst of a pandemic. Oh, and then there's Monsanto, recently bought by Bayer. In 2010, Gates bought 500,000 Monsanto shares worth $23 million. Ages later, their worth had gone up to $64 million. Monsanto started off producing Agent Orange, a powerful and highly toxic chemical used during the Vietnam War to eliminate forest cover and to destroy crops. Its horrific side effects were all forms of cancer and birth deformities. Monsanto didn't exactly change its evil deeds and became known for its genetically modified seeds and crops, and for its poisonous weed killer, Roundup. Bill Gates openly promotes GMOs as the answer to world hunger. In 2018, Monsanto was bought by Bayer, a chemical giant that produces poison. In other words, our food supply is now largely controlled by the producers of carcinogenic poison. Just in case you didn't hear this, let me repeat it. Our food supply is largely controlled by the producers of carcinogenic poison. Carcinogenic means it causes cancer. I wonder how many people think this is normal. And Rob Borsch, Deputy Director of the Agricultural Research and Development Team at the Gates Foundation until his retirement, spent 25 years of his career at Monsanto. Small world, evil players. And what about Gates' love for big pharmaceutical companies such as Bayer, Merck, Pfizer? He bought his way in through shares with millions and millions of dollars. Do you want to know why? So he can push his vaccination and poison fetish down the throat of each and every country in the world while making astronomical profits via his shares in the companies that produce the poison. Do you know how that works? Here's an example. The Gates Foundation gives money to Pfizer, or Merck, or GlaxoSmithKline, or any other big pharma giant in which Gates has a financial interest, in order to develop a new vaccine. Next, the foundation gives money to political lobbyists to create a market for his vaccine. Then, Gates arranges a fixed and way too high price for the vaccine via Gavi, yet another Gates entity. The Gates Foundation and or any of the involved and co-profiting NGOs such as Global Fund give donations to foreign governments to buy the vaccines. Those governments are obliged to buy the vaccines from the vaccine producer, think Merck or Pfizer. Global Fund gets their donation back from USAID. And last but not least, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation makes a massive profit and doesn't have to pay a dime of tax. So, who pays for the development and the purchase of the vaccines? That's right, you and me, the taxpayers.
You've invested $10 billion in vaccinations over the last two decades, and you figured out the return on investment for that, and it kind of stunned me. Can you walk us through the math?
Over a 20-to-1 return. So if you just look at the economic benefits, that's a pretty strong number compared to anything else.
I think the numbers that you ran through were if you had put that money into an S&P 500 and reinvested the dividends, you'd come up with something like $17 billion, but you think it's $200 billion.
Here, yeah.
The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation couldn't care less about the people in less developed countries. All they are interested in is profit. Profit through technology, research and development, GMOs, vaccines, and more poison. None of the above is about the heart. None of it is about true charity out of love for your fellow man. Is Mr. Gates simply obsessed with technology? Or are we dealing with a psychopath?
Within Microsoft, that browser share was a very, very important goal.
Well, you've used several times, you know, the very, very, and I don't know if you're asking specifically about some time where I used the words very, very. Is that the question?
Let's see what he's truly up to, shall we? Let's have a look at the effects of his philanthropy in less developed countries. Join us and bear witness to the trails of destruction this man leaves behind in part 11.
All right, so that was part 11 of Sequel of the Fall of the Cabal. I am going to kick off part 11 here next, which is 27 minutes, 38 seconds long. We have about 20 minutes left of the live broadcast. So if you're out there and you're listening and you want to continue listening during the bonus hour that is part of the recording, then definitely call in now. We got about 20 minutes left of the live broadcast. So obviously kicking off part 11, which is 27 minutes, it's going to spill over into the bonus hour that is part of the recording but no longer live broadcast. So call in now and then hang out with me so you can continue to listen during this bonus hour. And then after that, we can chit-chat a little bit and hang out for a while. So definitely call in 563-999-3698. Again, that is 563-999-3698. And then you can press lucky number one to raise your hand if you want to chit-chat once I have played all of the clips that time will allow. So with that said, we will go ahead and kick off Sequel to the Fall of the Cabal, Part 11. If you're watching on the video, look up on BitChute, Sequel to the Fall of the Cabal, Part 11. And we're going to kick that off here right now in 3, 1, launch.
Bill Gates and his investments. By following the money, one gets to know a person. If I were to accept someone's advice, for instance in the area of vaccines, I would follow that person's money to see where he comes from. Does he have my best interests at heart? What does following the money tell us about Bill Gates? He has an interest in highly suspicious companies, a tendency to be drawn towards poison, and an absolute focus on depopulation.
First, we've got population. Now, the world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
Let's face it. A man who openly promotes reducing the world population in order to save the planet, telling the world vaccines can help achieve this goal, then promotes the same vaccines to save lives? Really? Make up your mind, Bill. Do you want to save human lives, or do you want to destroy them? You can't have it both ways. Follow the money, and you will get to know the man behind it. We have seen GMOs, infected mosquitoes, tests on human guinea pigs in less developed countries, bioweapons, child trafficking and abuse on Epstein Island. Not a pretty picture, Bill. What else are you up to, The more we dove into the person Bill Gates, the more we were shocked and nauseated. Here are some more companies in which he heavily invested. They include many of the most criticized companies in the world for involvement in human rights abuses, labor abuses, environmental abuses, and tax avoidance.
Big mining companies. Barrick Gold. BHP Billiton. Freeport-McMoRan. Glencore. Rio Tinto. Vedanta. And Vale, a Brazilian mining company that was voted with most contempt for the environment and human rights in the Public Eye Annual Awards. Agribusiness companies, Nestle, Unilever, Archer Daniels Midland, Kraft, Mondelez International, chemical and pharmaceutical corporations, some of which we already mentioned. BASF. Dow Chemicals. GlaxoSmithKline, Novartis, and Pfizer. Beverage corporations, Coca-Cola, Diageo, PepsiCo, and AB Miller. Construction companies, Caterpillar, which has long been accused of complicity in human rights abuses in the Palestinian occupied territories. Defense contractors, BAE Systems, the UK's largest defense contractor and arms exporter. Excuse me? Arms? As in weapons? Bill? And we already briefly mentioned his oil-based fertilizer. Well, guess what? The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation Trust has a financial stake of $1.4 billion in fossil fuel companies such as BP and Anadarko Petroleum that was recently forced to pay a $5 billion environmental cleanup charge. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation Trust has investments in 35 of the top 200 companies ranked by the carbon held in their reserves. These included coal giants Anglo American, BHP Billiton, Glencore Xstrata, and Peabody Energy, and the oil majors Shell, ConocoPhillips, Chevron, Total, and Petrobras. What about the human carbon footprint, Bill? Which part of sustainability don't you understand? Or does it only concern others, like the people, who subsequently have to pay new taxes, more taxes, anything to squeeze the life force out of them just a little bit more? While you enjoy your jet-set lifestyle or your yacht and your private plane, You know, Bill, you can try to fool us with your posture and your terrible choice of clothes and hair, but we see straight through you. Some people may still believe that you're a kind nerd, giving money away to charity, but more and more people see through you. Once you burst that nerdy bubble of yours, all that is left is a Rockefeller descendant who plays his puppet role in the depopulation agenda 21 and 2030. No body language with excessive hand gestures and nerdy glasses ticks. No fake smiles can ever fool those who are awake. And the number of awake people grows by the minute. Now, in case you think you know all there is to know about Mr. Gates, he comes up with yet another marvel of a plan to spray millions of tons of dust into the stratosphere to stop global warming. I mean, seriously? Millions of tons of chalk are to be sprinkled up there to create a world-enveloping cloud that reflects sunlight away from us. A cloud to basically cause a worldwide solar eclipse for indefinite time. This insane plan is funded by Gates and pioneered by scientists at Harvard University. Even they admit, "I hope we don't need it. It's a very scary technology. It's quite terrifying. But the world with severe climate change impacts can also be very scary." My, that's one hell of a slogan.
The initial test that was supposed to take place over New Mexico is currently on hold amid fears that it could trigger a disastrous series of chain reactions, creating climate havoc in the form of serious droughts and hurricanes, and bring death to millions of people around the world. One fear is that spreading dust into the stratosphere may damage the ozone layer that protects us from hazardous ultraviolet radiation that causes cancer. Climatologists are also concerned that the circulation of ocean currents that regulate our weather may be disrupted. This could unleash a global outbreak of events that might devastate farmland, wipe out entire species, and foster disease epidemics. I don't know what's worse, climate change or this plan. Obviously, Bill Gates is more interested in his technological experiments than in the safety of people. Oh, I almost forgot. He's into depopulating the planet. Well, what a marvelous side effect then. Right, Bill? There's a few more things about Mr. Charity that we think you should know. In 2000, he set up GAVI, Global Alliance for Vaccines and Immunization, now called GAVI, the Vaccine Alliance. Not just that, he sponsored GAVI with no less than $4.44 billion. In addition, he pledged another $1.6 billion for 2021 to 25. GAVI has the power to decide the price for vaccines, which is always way too high according to critics, such as Doctors Without Borders. Like we heard Gates say in the previous episode, he has a 20-to-1 return on investment when it comes to vaccines. He makes astronomical profits in times of need. What a guy. On the board of GAVI are four permanent positions, filled with representatives from the WHO, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, UNICEF, and the World Bank. In 2018, GAVI donated $388 million to the WHO. Gates owns the Vaccine Alliance, just like he owns the WHO. He is everywhere. He decides what happens within GAVI and which decisions are made. When Gates wants a global lockdown, there will be a global lockdown. If he wants a digital certificate to prove immunity, there will be a digital certificate to prove immunity. Mandatory. If he wants the entire world to be vaccinated, the entire world will be vaccinated. Mandatory. He is way more powerful than our presidents. Make no mistake. Is it Gates himself who is so powerful? Simply because he's a Rockefeller descendant? Or is he just a puppet on one of Warren Buffett's strings? Who knows? And does it really matter? What matters at this stage is that this evil empire is exposed to the world. Once the people know whom they're dealing with, do you think they'll still want their precious vaccine? In April 2020, President Trump announced stopping the financing of the WHO. Instead, he gave the money to GAVI. Many people were shocked by this action. How could he sponsor Big Pharma? Trump has always been openly opposed against the pharmaceutical industry. Did he try to gain influence in GAVI to temper Gates? Time will tell. The last thing we wish to share with you before hitting the final nail into Gates' coffin concerns the influence of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation in global agriculture. A study performed by Grain, published in November 2014, shows the shocking truth about the influence of the Gates Foundation in agriculture around the world. Do you still believe Mr. Gates is doing good in Africa? Do you know how much of his millions in grants for agriculture
actually go to Africa? A lousy 5%. Do you know where all the money ends up? With the CJIAR. International organizations such as the World Bank, UN agencies, etc. AGRA, the Alliance for a Green Revolution in Africa, set up by Gates himself. The African Agricultural Technology Foundation, the AATF, and hundreds of different research, development and policy organizations across the world. In Gates' world, it's all about R&D and policy. His money does not go to the African farmers. It goes to scientists, to laboratories. Gates' tools, AGRA and the AATF, make sure that the technologies that come rolling out of the labs get into the fields of the African farmers without them having a say in it. Not only that, as if it weren't bad enough, Gates' money for agriculture does not go to Africa where it's badly needed. No, Gates wouldn't be Gates if he didn't favor the rich countries. By far the main recipient country is the US, followed by the UK, Germany, and the Netherlands. So, the Gates Foundation fights hunger in the South by giving money to the North. How the hell is that going to work? AGRA. When we hear Alliance for a Green Revolution in Africa, we think irrigation projects, clean water, green fields. Forget it. AGRA's and Gates' promise to double productivity and incomes by 2020 for 30 million small-scale farming households while reducing food insecurity by half in 20 countries has failed miserably. Why? Because that was never the aim. 15 years after Gates set up AGRA together with the Rockefeller Foundation, the only one who has been reaping the benefits is Gates himself. The number of Africans suffering extreme hunger has increased by 30% to 131 million people in the 13 countries AGRA focuses on. The African biodiversity has been replaced by monoculture, mostly corn, and farmers who failed to switch to corn were fined by their governments. Crop diversity has been sacrificed in the name of technological advance. As a result, farmers have become more and more dependent on help from AGRA and their government to survive. Monocropping and the disappearance of nutrient crops such as agave and sweet potatoes have made the farmers most vulnerable to climate change and droughts. It has ruined their diet diversity and it has exhausted their land. AGRA's money went to African governments, which in turn gave subsidies to the farmers if they did exactly what AGRA and thus Bill Gates told them to do. Buy high-tech seeds and chemicals sold by US corporations, in which Gates has shares. The seeds are expensive hybrid seeds that the farmers have to buy each and every year. The chemicals are fossil fuel-based petrochemical fertilizers. What happened to Gates' big mouth about sustainability and saving the planet? The fertilizers are very expensive. Most farmers don't sell enough corn to earn those expenses back. One bad harvest and they are all left with debts and despair. Monsanto and the other multinational seed companies are all there, benefiting from sales they would never have had without subsidies. Seed and fertilizer companies are the clear winners from these policies. By pushing his beloved technology down the throats of African farmers, Gates didn't exactly help them. He abused them and drove many to suicide. How hard is it to use your money to do truly good by listening to the people's needs for a change? How hard is it to treat them as intelligent and experienced fellow men instead of a bunch of retards who don't know what's good for them? How denigrating is that? Why aim for 80% of the population being vaccinated when everybody knows that diseases are spread by bad hygiene and polluted water? Why not simply provide clean water and proper hygiene? That would have been so much more effective and it wouldn't have cost so much money. Before we move on, let's redefine philanthropy once and for all, shall we? Robert Newman said it so well in an article in 2012. Philanthropy is the enemy of justice. The point is that poor people do not tend to ask for charity. They demand justice, which requires not so much money from the rich world as fundamental changes in the way the rich world operates, including ending tax havens, limiting the power of corporations, and changing neoliberal economics. Philanthropy is not pushing your agenda down other people's throats. It is not giving funds, means, or material to people who didn't ask for it. It is not overruling other people's way of life simply because you believe that your way of life is superior. Philanthropy is not making investments in order to make more money for yourself. Philanthropy is the opposite of what is described in Agenda 21 and 2030. It is not helping dictators stay in command so they can continue to control and suppress their people, to wage war upon them, to have their precious minerals stolen, and to keep them hungry and terrified. Philanthropy is not stealing other people's children and selling them as sex slaves. What is philanthropy? It is helping your fellow man. It is sharing simply because you care. It is giving to the poor, but only if they ask for it, and only in a way that is truly helpful and respectful for them, not for you. Philanthropy is giving, sharing from an unconditional starting point, not because you want something in return. Philanthropy comes from the heart, not from reason nor technology. It is giving, sharing, because you truly want to make this world a better place. Bill Gates has other priorities than doing good. He has spread his tentacles of power into every corner of the world. Do you think you've seen it all? Well, let me be quiet for a while so you can fully grasp the extent to which Gates is indeed omnipresent. The whole picture yet? Bill Gates controls the air you breathe, the food you eat, the water you drink, the healthcare you get. He controls your life from the cradle to the grave. Do you wish to see the final nail in his coffin? Then let's move along to part 12.
All right, so we just finished up part 11 of Sequel to Follow the Cabal, and we are going to definitely move on to part 12, which is about 26 minutes long, and we are in the recording portion of the show, so the live broadcast is no longer going on. So with that said, hopefully we can crank out at least two more. It's 8:10. So this one for part 11 is 27 minutes, 39 seconds long. Or no, part 12, I mean. Sorry about that. I'm even getting confused as far as what I've played and what I haven't. So we will go ahead, I'm queuing it up on my end right now, part 12, so that I can watch it while listening as well. So if you're doing the same thing, look up Sequel to Follow the Cabal on BitChute, part 12, and we will continue on. So here we go, 26 minutes, 14 seconds. We'll see if we can get through part 12 and maybe part 13 before the 9 o'clock hour pings. So here we go in 3, 2, 1.
We have spent 4 episodes on Bill Gates, our self-proclaimed philanthropist. You might ask yourself, could there possibly be any more evil coming out of this man's mind? The answer is yes. We discovered even more darkness to share with you. And we promise, after this episode, we are done with him, and we will never mention his name again. Now, we briefly mentioned something big at the end of the previous episode.
Gates' involvement in what we call gene drive technology, also referred to as extinction technology. We are literally talking technology to make entire species or races go extinct. According to researchers, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and DARPA are the world's largest funders of gene drive research. In short, gene drive organisms are created by genetically engineering a living organism with a particular trait and then modifying the organism's reproductive system in order to always force the modified gene onto future generations, spreading the trait throughout the entire population. In order to be able to do that, one has to cut DNA and enable genes to be inserted, replaced, or deleted from DNA sequences. The research of this amazing technology started off in 2003, massively funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. It wasn't until 2015 and many, many millions of dollars later when a breakthrough was reached and Bill Gates had his ticket to his mosquito ball, remember, from part 9? Now, we have already shown the dangers of gene drive technology. Think of the disruption of entire ecosystems. But it goes further than that. Gene drives are classified as synthetic biology, an extreme form of genetic engineering. Synthetic biology has been a field of interest of both Bill Gates and the US military and many other militaries around the world. Both Gates and DARPA, plus a secretive group of military advisors known as the Jason Group, have been investing insane amounts of money into synthetic engineering. Now, bearing in mind the possibilities of using this technology to create bioweapons, gene drives might be a marvel of technology, but in the wrong hands, it can and will have disastrous outcomes. Gates has made sure that the future of gene drive extinction technology is secured. He bankrolled the technology development, he shaped the narrative, he picked the policy negotiators, and even paid the lobbyists. Just to give you an idea of how powerful this man is, in early 2015, the National Academies of Sciences, Engineering and Medicine announced that they would have a major inquiry into gene drives. The study did not explore just the science of gene drives, but also aimed to frame issues around policy, ethics, risk assessment, governance, and public engagement around gene drives. It was sponsored by DARPA and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation through the National Institutes of Health and the Foundation for the National Institutes of Health. Several panel members were recipients of Gates funds. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation also channeled money into the MIT Media Lab to promote gene drive technology. This Media Lab, by the way, came into the news when it was revealed it had received donations from none other than convicted child rapist Jeffrey Epstein. In 2019, the Media Lab got $2 million from Gates through Epstein. Funny how things always come back and bite you in the butt, right, Bill? Synthetic biology has become a multi-billion dollar industry. Investment firms estimate that the industry will be worth $85 billion by 2030. That's an awful lot of money. We're talking about an industry that creates synthetic ingredients for the food industry, medicines, and lab-grown food products. In other words, it creates something artificially that does not exist in the natural world. Now once again, that can either be a blessing or a curse, depending on whose hands it ends up in. As we have seen, synthetic biology is all about changing DNA into the so-called
perfect mode, which could be absolutely brilliant. It could mean the end of disease. Our DNA could be programmed to fight AIDS, for instance, or even hereditary diseases, such as autoimmune diseases or certain types of cancer. They could be eliminated for good. Can you imagine the absolutely wonderful breakthrough in medical science? However, in the wrong hands, it could be disastrous. First of all, it would be a very expensive way forward, meaning only the very rich people would be able to buy good health, good genes, while the ordinary people would have to wait for traditional medical treatment. Now, don't get me wrong, we are pro-advance, but when Bill Gates comes into the equation, we are highly alerted. As we have seen in previous episodes, Gates is a eugenics fanatic. The step from eugenics to synthetic biology is only a small one. Remember the Nazis and their efforts to create a pure race? Tall, athletic people with white skin, blonde hair and blue eyes? The Aryan race? Well, guess what? A new term has been coined for eugenics. Designer babies. We are not kidding you. When you have enough money, you can actually tell your SynBio doctors what kind of baby you want to give birth to. Green eyes? Dark skin? A boy or a girl? Highly intelligent? A natural born leader? You name it, they will program it. A few cells in a petri dish, which will then be placed in your womb, or in an artificial womb, yet another marvel of technology from the Netherlands. We think you know by now that when Mr. Gates is involved, one has to be cautious. Be it vaccines, be it synthetic biology, when Gates promotes it and puts millions into it, something is off. Back to the food industry. Gates' latest investments include Impossible Foods and Beyond Meat that make processed meat-like burgers from a synthetic biology-derived blood substitute. Sounds marvelous, doesn't it? I mean, we have been vegetarians for decades out of sheer love for animals, and we would welcome any new and tasty veggie burger. But from the hands of Bill Gates? Seriously? When a man who is an enthused depopulation advocate starts producing our food, not a good thing. Let's have a closer look, shall we? After all, more and more viewers are concerned about the welfare of the planet and the animals that live on it. Beyond Meat was founded in 2009 in California, but the first burgers didn't hit the market until 2012. In less than 3 years, the company went straight to the stock market, where its shares exploded 840% during its first 3 months being listed. Investment firms said they had never seen anything like it. As of March 2021, Beyond Meat has a market value of $8.16 billion. For a bunch of veggie burgers? Really? Impossible Foods was founded in 2011, also in California. Its first burgers hit the market in 2016. Contrary to Beyond Meat, Impossible Foods is not on the stock market. It earns its fundings from venture capital funds and celebrity investors like Bill Gates. The company has brought in $1.4 billion. Its current value is estimated at $4 billion.
As we were editing this episode, news arrived that Impossible Foods is ready to move forward to the stock market with an estimated value of $10 billion. Once again, for a bunch of veggie burgers? Well, it's not just veggie burgers. It's synthetic biology products. That's where the money is going. That's what a man like Bill Gates is so excited about. If he were truly thrilled about vegetarian food, he would have invested in companies like The Vegetarian Butcher or Corn, right? The truth is, Gates couldn't care less about the well-being of animals. He is into depopulation, eugenics, GMOs, and now synthetic biology. Why? So he can play God. Synthetic biology means redesigning life. New biological systems are created, systems that do not exist in nature. It is the extended version of genetic engineering. According to synthetic biologists, organisms created by means of synthetic biology would be considered new species, a complete biological system that could not have evolved from nature and would even have to be classified in a separate domain of life. Playing God. Like we said before, this can be a curse or a blessing, depending on who is the creator. A beautiful example of synbio is a bacterial system capable of avoiding the immune system, of sensing tumor cells, of invading and destroying them, and then self-destruct after a programmed time. Or how about this one? An alga that is capable of producing biofuels from carbon dioxide. Wonders of technological advance. But in the wrong hands? Take that same bacterial system we just mentioned. How about programming it to attack the immune system instead of cancer cells? Then let it self-destruct after a programmed time, and the cause of death will never be discovered through autopsy. For people like Bill Gates, synthetic biology is an absolute blessing. The term was well chosen. The word biology does wonders, like sustainability. It has a direct association with nature, green, eco, marvelous psychological effect. Whereas the word GMO is now connected to certain doubts concerning the health of people and planet. Furthermore, definitions of synthetic biology are still changing, and when it comes to, for instance, FDA approval, it's all about definitions. Right now, believe it or not, manufacturers of products that are based on synbio do not legally have to disclose this. They do not have to label their products GMO, as the definition of synbio is slightly different, even though it is much more extreme than GMO. And that is exactly what we see with the products of Beyond Meat. Its founder, Ethan Brown, doesn't mention synbio in interviews. It cannot be found on the company's website and or its packaging. What's even worse, Beyond Meat states their products are GMO-free. Synbioed, yes, but that does not have to be disclosed. How shall we call this? It's legal, all right, but only because of the flaws in the system. We would definitely call this consumer deceit. Now, the funny thing is, on its website, Beyond Meat doesn't even claim to be producing vegetarian or vegan products. They say their products are plant-based, but there's no mention of their products being suitable for vegetarians or vegans. At least not when we produce this episode. What about the products as they are sold in the shops? Beyond Meat put on some of its products the words vegan or vegetarian, but not on all. Far from it. From a marketing point of view, this strikes us as odd. It uses the icons for no GMOs, no soy or gluten, and kosher. The words plant-based sausage mean nothing. It can be based on plants, but still contain meat. So don't be fooled by the words plant-based. So, what is the main secret of Beyond Meat's bleeding burgers that they are so proud of? Red beet juice. Believe it or not, after years of developing vegetarian burgers by many other companies, nobody came up with the idea to use red beet juice to mimic the bleeding of meat? Are you kidding me? That's not exactly rocket science, is it? You want to know why it was never discovered before? Because it doesn't work. Try it. Red beet juice does not turn into a juicy burger taste when fried. It just doesn't have that bloody iron taste to it. Beyond Meat's secret is synthetic biology, and that has nothing to do with healthy veggie burgers. How about Impossible Foods? Their main secret is heme, genetically engineered soy leg hemoglobin. According to scientific advisor to Impossible Foods, Dr. Michael Eisen, in order to provide tasty alternatives to animal meat made from plants, you need lots of heme. And to get heme, you need genetic engineering. Impossible Foods makes this GMO heme by taking DNA from the root of soy plants, where a small amount of heme is produced, and insert it into genetically engineered yeast that is then fermented to mass-produce GMO heme. Well, at least they are honest about the GMOs, but mind you, this synbio substance has never been consumed before. Nobody knows what the effects will be on body and mind after consuming certain quantities for a certain amount of time. On its website, Impossible Food doesn't claim to be producing vegetarian or vegan products either, just like Beyond Meat. They too only state their products are plant-based. The packaging of their products tell us they do not contain animal hormones or antibiotics. Excuse me? That is not quite the same as vegetarian or vegan, now is it? From a marketing point of view, the packaging seems cheap and not appealing at all. Not quite what one would expect from a multi-billion enterprise, right? Impossible Foods does show us the icon of bioengineered, which looks tempting as in eco and green, but don't be fooled. Remember this icon. No matter how good it looks, it means trouble. We advise you to stay away from it. We mean it when we say that we truly wanted these miracle burgers to be the real thing, but after careful consideration, we turned them down. They are not the vegetarian product people are looking for. They are GMO'd and synbio'd. And we tasted them. They taste like meat. Full-on juicy meat. Now, we don't know what's causing that, but we do not believe it's because of red beet juice or heme. Could it be the result of certain flavor enhancers? Did you know that some of the most powerful flavor enhancers are based on human embryonic kidney cells, the ATK293 cells? In other words, kidney cells taken from a human aborted baby? Ever heard of Cenomix? A biotech company from California, bought by Firmenich from Switzerland in 2018? The business that received $7.5 million from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation? We know. Too far-fetched, right? I mean, can you imagine? Beyond Meat and Impossible Foods containing fetus kidney cells to add the meat flavor?
without telling us? I mean, we know that a lot of products contain these human embryonic kidney 293 cells to increase their taste. But come on, fake veggie burgers? Nah, we're pretty sure that the fact that the location of the production facility of Impossible Foods in Oakland, California, being right across the street from Planned Parenthood, is just a creepy coincidence. Just like the fact that the production facility of Beyond Meat is only a few minutes' drive from three Planned Parenthood clinics. Just a creepy coincidence. Although, in 2018, Beyond Meat partnered up with Zondbergen, world's finest meat from the Netherlands. That's right. Originally a butcher, and now an importer of frozen meat from across the world. Zondbergen states it is proud to be working with Beyond Meat that has replaced meat protein by plant protein. Synthetic biology, all right. Creating new species, remember? Replacing meat protein by plant protein doesn't exactly make it vegetarian, now does it? Oh, and guess what? Beyond Meat's manufacturing facility in the Netherlands is only 7 minutes away from an abortion facility, the Emma Clinic, in the city of Enschede. Bearing in mind, the Netherlands only has 15 abortion facilities. What are the odds? Gates now believes the wealthiest countries should switch to eating 100% synthetic beef in order to help combat climate change. Of course, climate change. If you can't blame it on COVID, blame it on climate change. Now the poor countries cannot afford synthetic meat, so they can continue eating real meat. But that will have to be GMO'd, of course. Bill Gates has taken over our food supply. He GMO'd our seeds, and now he is getting rid of the American beef industry. He is destroying farming, and he's buying up farmland. This way, he will soon control every aspect of our food, how it is produced, what is put into it. Gates will do in the US and Europe what he has already done in Africa and India. He will force you to obey his rules and regulations. If you disobey, you will be fined, thrown in jail, and you will be refrained from food, the number one necessity in life. Gates have found yet another way to subjugate us completely and utterly to his whims and wishes. Now if that doesn't worry you, we don't know what will. Well, maybe this will. All current COVID vaccines are the result of synthetic biology. All of them. They have not been tested. They are not approved. They are referred to as GRAS, generally recognized as safe, which means absolutely nothing. And they are in an experimental phase until 2023. Let that sink in. You are part of a massive medical experiment. By injecting a sin bioproduct into your body, you could be changed into one of Gates' products, a synbiode genetically modified product. After everything we have shown you in the previous episodes about Bill Gates, exactly how safe does that make you feel? Now, during the very first seconds of this episode, we promised you that this would be the last one about Gates. And that was truly our intention. I mean, we are so fed up with him, you have no idea. But as we are approaching the critical half hour, We're afraid there's just a few more things about him that will put things into perspective in a way you've probably not seen before. Bear with us and move along to part 13.
All right, here we are, and the show is going to end in about 23 minutes, so there is just not enough time to sneak in part 13. Part 13 is about 26 minutes, 42 seconds, so if I kicked it off, it would be cut off during the last 3 to 4 minutes of it. So I'm going to call it a night. It's 4:20, and I'm going to call it a night. Happy 4:20, everybody out there. If you are listening to this show later tonight, I'm going to end the show a little bit early since we don't have enough time to sneak in part 13 of Fall of the Cabal, or the sequel to the Fall of the Cabal, rather. And so we will have to pick it up again. I might do it tomorrow night, but not sure yet, so I guess we'll figure it out. But I am wanting to continue on for sure. It would continue on to part 13 through part 22, and then go from there. So depending on how many we could get through, I might be able to throw a show in. So keep an eye out, Lucid Libertarian, keep an eye out for a possible Thursday night continuation of this. If not, it will happen soon. So with that, thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. As usual, my regular live show, Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann, is on Sunday night, 6 to 9 p.m. Make sure to tune in. This week, I do not have a guest scheduled, but I am probably going to have Alan McFarland back again, our Laughing Libertarian, as a guest co-host, and then Dahl Arntzen as well, my usual sidekick and partner in Radio Land, Dahl Arntzen, and she has her own show, Alaskan Patriot Network, here on Blog Talk Radio, Fridays from 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific Time. So with that, I will definitely be here Sunday night, and we can talk, and we can take callers and all that kind of good stuff and do the usual show. Thank you for tuning in to this special broadcast, and keep an eye out for show number 5 of Fall of the Cabal series, where we can pick up with sequel to the Fall of the Cabal Part 13. So with that, have a great night. Have a great rest of your week. Until next time.